Rabbi Sai Parshas Nitzavim Vayelach. We have a double header this week. This week is the last of the Shiva Dinechemta. It's a beautiful haftarah. In fact, some of the minig used to be today that every time you have an ofruf, they would recite the psukim from this haftarah. They would lay in the portion of this haftarah where it says Al Chemosayich Yerushalayim Hifkarati Shomrim. And the pasuk here says, "Ki yival bachur besula yiv aluch bo noich umisoyis chasan al kala yosis alayich eloikoyich." Okay, so that's for this reason. This pasuk is really the spitz of simcha. We're comparing our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a chasan and kala. It's a very powerful haftorah. It's the hashlama. The Gemara of the Shiva, the Nechemta, it's the climax right before we come to Rosh Hashanah. Parsha begins, Nitzavim, Atem Nitzavim Vayom Kulchem Ufnei Hashem Elokeichem. We stand here before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have a long list of people, Rosheichem, Shefteichem, Zikneichem, Shetreichem, Tapchem, Neshechem, Gerecha, Nechoite Veitzecha, Ad Shemimecha. And then it says, Le'avricha bevris Hashem Elokechu ve'olasai. It goes on, what is the purpose of standing? Moshe Rabbeinu assembled the entire Klal Yisrael. They were all standing there before the Shechina. What's the purpose? What is the purpose of standing, Moshe Rabbeinu gathering, assembling the people to stand Hayoim on this day? And Chazal tells us, every time it says the word Hayoim in Tanakh, it is an allusion, is a remez to Rosh Hashanah. Vayihi Hayoim. It says by Eoiv, it says the word Vayihi Hayoim. It says it in different places in Tanakh. The word Hayoim, every time it says the word Hayoim, it alludes to Reish Hashan. Moshe Rabbeinu Vial Derech. What? Also, there's Hayoim, was also Rosh Hashanah. He came out of prison. Vayamdu, there's an Oimate. There also, okay, whatever. There are different events which took place in Rosh Hashanah, and here it says Vayihayim. Therefore, being that this week is always the week before Reish Hashanah, and it mentions here the word Hayoim. And here it says that every living creature will stand. Call boy oilam yavrun lefonecha. On the Yom Hadin, everyone goes and passes before the Ribbono Shel Olam for judgment. This obviously alludes to Rosh Hashanah and the Yom Hadin. Of course, according to the simple interpretation of the pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu was gathering Klal Yisrael together to give them over a message, some parting words. Now here, the truth is, if you study Rashi in total, Rashi tells us there were three reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu assembled Klal Yisrael. If you read the Rashi, it's not obvious in Rashi. You have to go through the Rashi very carefully. Rashi starts off over here by saying, Atem nitzavim, melamed shekinsam Moshe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe gathered the entire Jewish people before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, biyoim Moisai, on the day of his death. Okay? Lechachnisam, to gather them, bibris, to gather them into a bris, into a covenant. As it says in the pasuk. The pasuk here says, le'avricha bibris. And Rashi elaborates, jump down a few psukim, Rashi elaborates, v'hu yeh l'cha l'elokim, l'fi, Rashi says, shedibu l'cha, since Hashem spoke to you, v'nishba la'avaisach, you made an oath to your forefathers, Sheloy lahachlif es zaron beuma acheres, that he will not exchange you for another nation. You are his chosen nation. Lekachu oiser eschem b'shvuos halalu sheloy tak nituhu, that you should not provoke Hashem achashuhu enu yochel lahibadel mikem. Since Hashem promised, made a shvua to your forefathers that he will never exchange us for another nation, we have to make sure that we do not provoke him, do anything to cause him anger. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, before he dies, gathers the entire Klal Yisrael and adjures them. He puts upon them an oath to make sure they do not keep their part of the deal. Okay, it is nothing more than a gathering of Klal Yisrael. It's business. It's just a business meeting. Moshe is gathering Klal Yisrael. We have to take care of an item of business. Everyone be on the conference call to make sure we cross all the T's, dot all the I's, have all the documents signed and settled before I leave this world. Business. Right? That's what it says. We have a bris.
He wants to buy in?
No, he's telling them, listen, I'm about to leave this world. I just want to
just want to remind you that your forefathers, Hashem made a shvuah to your forefathers, and therefore there's an obligation, there's a business legal obligation for you to do your part. If Hashem promised that He's not going to exchange you, make sure you don't provoke Him. Make sure you don't exchange Hashem for another god. And therefore, I'm not going to take your word for it. I want to make sure you sign the dotted line. It's a business event. I mean, I'm just using those words very loosely, obviously, okay? Nothing is business when it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but Kadosh Baruch Hu was over here, we're concluding loose ends in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, period. Then, go further in Rashi. Rashi then gives us an entirely different reason why Moshe Rabbeinu gathered us together. Maybe Rashi means that this is the only reason he wanted to make us make a shvuah. He could have sent out an email. He could have done this on the telephone with us. He could have done this through having a messenger go to every person signing the document. There's another reason why Moshe Rabbeinu gathered Klal Yisrael. Rashi says, "Umedrash Agoda." The Medrash says, "You know why he gathered us? Lama nismucha parshas atem mitzavim leklalos." We're going back to Parshas Kisavai, the Toichacha. Lefi Sheshamu Yisrael Mea Klolos Chosar Shtayim, 98 Klolos in Parshas Kisavai, Chutz Me'arboim V'teisha Shebetaris Kehanim, Hoiriku Pineyem, their faces turned green, or turned white, or yellow, whatever color you want to tell me the word Hoiriku, V'yabu Mi Yuchal Le'amad Be'elu. So what did Moshe do? Chizuk. He was an inspirational speaker, Moshe Rabbeinu, the ultimate inspirational speaker. Hischil Moshe Lefaisan, he gave them chizuk. That's the key word in this generation. This word is a new word, never exists in our vocabulary. And in this generation, the name of the game is chizuk. Everyone is looking for chizuk. When I grew up, I never heard this word, chizuk. Whatever it means, chazak v'ematz. But today, it's a word, you walk on the street, you're looking for someone to give you chizuk. That has nothing to do with business. It's an entirely different reason why Moshe Rabbeinu gathered Klal Yisrael. It's not in order to make a shvuah, to negotiate with Klal Yisrael. It's nothing more than chizuk. And then Rashi, on the very, very bottom, he has another reason why Moshe Rabbeinu gathered. Atem nitzavim, another reason. Lefi shahayu Yisrael yoytzim miparnas leparnas. Since Moshe was departing, he was leaving them, he was dying, and he's appointing his successor, Yehoshua, mi Moshe Yehoshua. Lefichach also Isa Matseva, he gathered them all together to inform them, Yehoshua is going to be your new manik. Let there be no mistake, Rabbi Isai. This is the big problem. Many, unfortunately, in history, more often than not, where a manik does not clearly define who his successor will be and make sure everything is in motion before he dies, then it's a churban, it's a major, major churban. When he dies, machlekes breaks out, and it's all downhill from there. Some say it's done that by design. Some rebbes, they want to go down. They want to go down like they want there to be a division. Whatever it is, none of our business. But Moshe Rabbeinu over here said, "When I'm going to die, there's going to be no division. I want you to know that I'm going to die." Number one, okay. Number two, my successor is going to be one person, not two people. And you know who he is? His name is Yehoshua. He is the successor, and in fact, today he's going to start to be manning. I'm going to sit and watch. He's going to sit in my seat. I'm going to sit in the audience to make sure you get used to the fact that he is my successor. Very big mile of Moshe Rabbeinu. Also, Yeshua. When Yeshua died, he did the same thing to appoint his successor. Okay. Sachako, we have over here, Rashi is telling us something very, very fascinating. Moshe Rabbeinu was a multifaceted person. He gathered Klal Yisrael together for three reasons. Number one, business. Number two, chizuk. And number three, to appoint a successor. To appoint a successor. And all of this is captured what he did on Hayoim, on this term which Chazal tell us alludes to Rosh Hashanah, and it happens also to be the week before Rosh Hashanah. It's easy for us to suggest that this Rashi is coming to teach us what exactly is the nature of Rosh Hashanah. What exactly are we doing on Rosh Hashanah? And we can even go so far to say these three things correspond to Malchios, Zichroinois, and Shofrois. There are three elements of Rosh Hashanah in the Nusach HaTzibur: Malchios, Zichroinois, and Shofrois. Here, Atem Nitzavim Hayoim. Why? There's a bris. Number two, I'm giving you chizuk. And number three, I want to let you know
that there's going to be a new manig in town. That is exactly what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Number one is, I use the word business, but it's le'ovrecha bivris. The first element of Rosh Hashanah is malchios. Remember, we have zuchus avos. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the tkiyah is the zecher for the akedah. Avraham and Yitzchak, we are Hashem's chosen nation. And therefore, we have a duty to reciprocate, to declare Hashem to be makir, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is our melech. He is our melech. The first element of Rosh Hashanah of Malchios is le'ovrecha bivris, to acknowledge the covenant that there is between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. He is our melech. We are his subjects. Let that be clear. The renewal of our vows. The next thing is chizuk. We're all depressed. Who's not depressed here in this room? Everyone is depressed. Everyone has an issue. Everyone has a peckle. No one came into this world for a free lunch. Everyone needs chizuk. Zichroinos. Zichroinos is chizuk. To remember, we ask Hashem to remember the good things. To look back at the glorious moments in our history. Zocharti loch. Chesed nurayich. Ahavas. You take out a wedding album, you take out an old movie reel from the old films from long ago, and you look at the wedding of your grandparents, your parents. It's chizuk. Wow. They look what they accomplished in this world. Look what they built, look what they left over in this world all these years later. No, we have problems. We'll go, we'll survive, we'll prevail. Zichroinais. Chizuk. Rabbi Yisai, please. Okay. Number three, the last ring is, we're now going from one manik to a new manik. Let me illustrate this with a very simple question. Very simple question. Come to Tkiyah Shofar, we are mamish candidates for every psychologist and psychiatrist for OCD when it comes to Tkiyah Shofar. What's this obsession with the Satan? You guys, what's going on with you guys? Satan, you're reading psukim, Korah Satan. You don't blow shofar erev Rosh Hashanah, Kdei La'arev HaSatan. We cover the shofar in order that the Satan should not know that there's a shofar over here. Every trick in the book we pull out in order to confuse the Satan, to confuse him, in order that we can blow a good set of tekiyos. And Boisai, the Satan is older than all of us put together. He doesn't know that it's Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't know all the tricks of the book. He knows it all. He knows it better than we'll ever know it. So what's this game we're playing with the Satan? He knows it already. He knows everything there is to possibly know. So what's it all about? Rabbi said, the answer is very, very simple. The Satan of this year is not the Satan of last year. And is not the Satan of the year ago. It's a new Satan. The Satan from Tav Shin Ayin Ches can't wait for Erev Rosh Hashanah because he goes into retirement. He takes his pension and he goes somewhere off to Florida, goes to the Caribbean. It's vacation day. It said he's done. He is done. And the Satan, he gives over his tools, his crown to the Satan of Tav Shin Ayin Tes. And he says to him, good luck. Good luck. And he's off to the races. Satan of Tav Shin Ayin Tes is a rookie. He doesn't know the Aleph-Bays, and he is fodder for us. We can manipulate him, we can trick him, we can play games on him, because the nisyonos of this year are not the nisyonos of last year. Every single year, it's a new, we all know that. It's a whole new ball game.
we look back at the challenge we had years ago and we laugh. Those were the challenges? Well, Adarabba, wow, how do we even survive those challenges? That's the way it is. It's a new deck of cards. It's a new deck of cards. There are new nisyonos. That's the third parish of Rashi. Moshe is giving over the reins of leadership to a new manik, Yehoshua. You know why a new manik? I'm not from your generation. I'm done. There's a new tekufa. There's a new tekufa. Every year is a new tekufa, and now is the transition from the nisyonos, the hadrocha, the kitroik, the satan from last year to this year. And this is shayfrais. It's not malchios. This is shayfrais. This is where you blow the horn, you acknowledge there's a changing of the guard. Not chashan, there's only one ribbono shel olam. That's malchios. But shayfrais is not malchios. Shayfrais is the recognition we're now transitioning into a new tkufa, new nisyonos, new difficulties, new challenges. We have to refine, recalibrate our game plan, our plan, how we're going to proceed into the coming year. This is what Rosh Hashanah is. Atem nitzavim hayoim kulchem. What was the purpose? Rashi, three reasons. La'avrecha bivris, renew your vows with the Ribbono shel Olam. Number two, chizuk, you're all depressed. You just read the Toichacha last week. Let me be mechazik you. Let me serve as an inspirational speaker at a convention. You're all going to walk out with a big smile on your face. Number three, I have to say goodbye to you, rabbis. I'm leaving. I'm appointing a new successor. This is Rosh Hashanah. These three things. We come on Rosh Hashanah, malchios. We renew our vows with Hashem. Rosh Hashanah, it's a time of chizuk. Get rid of your baggage. Put it all away. Forget about it. Let bygones be bygones. Be mechazik yourself. Zichroinus, look back at the good events of your life, of history. Zocharti lo chesed nurayich. Ahavas klosoich. Be mechazik yourself. And number three, it's a transition moment. There are going to be new challenges this year. There are going to be new things that are going to come our way, and we're saying goodbye to some of the old challenges, which we've succeeded, or hopefully we've succeeded. We have to put them away. This is what we are trying. What?
How is that connected to shofar?
Shofar is, when you blow the shofar, it means there's a new king. There's a new king in town, correct? When you coronate a king, you make an announcement. We have a new king. There's someone new. Now, we all, it's all wrapped up together. But the blowing of and with regard to the Ribbono shel Olam, there's only one Hashem. That's Malchios. We renew our vows with Hashem, like they did over here. Hashem is Shvua. We are loyal. We will makabel the Torah, no? But Moshe says, no, I want you to take a nach Shvua. Make a Shvua again. That's Malchios. Shofreis is the sounding of a trumpet, which represents a change. There's a new king in town. There's a new order in town. What do you mean? There's only one Hakadosh Baruch Hu, but Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to be noyeg with us this year differently. The nisyonos that Hashem will present us will be different. So there is a change. It's the same Hakadosh Baruch Hu, but what He's going to throw our way is going to be different. The Satan's going to be different. There's going to be transition. That's the element of Shofreis. Shofreis always represents a change from the sounding of the trumpet, represents until now it was done this way, and now we're going to go in a different direction. Okay, let's go now to another idea. Let's talk a little, once talking about Rosh Hashanah, let me mention this idea by Rosh Hashanah. The Rav Tzadok, Rav Sadya Goin, he's probably the most famous commentator on Shofar. And he writes about the purpose of blowing Shofar. 10 different reasons why we blow Shofar. One of the things he writes is, when we blow Shofar, the purpose is to wake up. Hokitsu mi sheinaschem. A person, when you blow Shofar, it's a disturbing sound. It causes the person to wake up. It's a wake-up call. Now, the question I want to present to you is, why is it in the state of blowing shofar, do we blow a tekiah twice? The ikur blowing of the shofar is the teruah. Yoim teruah yihyeh lochem. What is a teruah? So the Gemara says we don't really know what a teruah is. Is it what we call a teruah? The short nine sounds? Is it what we call a shavarim? The semi-short three sounds? Or is it maybe both together? Maybe it's a shavarim teruah. Because we do not know, we have to blow all three. And the Gemara also makes a drasha, gzeir shava, to yoivel, to teach us is that you have to sandwich this teruah with a tekiah milifaneha and a tekiah me'achareha for a sequence. And because we don't know what exactly to do, all the various combinations, so then I tell you, we have to basically blow 30 sounds. Three sets of tekiah shvarim tekiah, tekiah teruah tekiah, and tekiah shvarim teruah tekiah. Why? What is the drush of the two sounds? I want to suggest the following simple vart based upon what we daven every single day, the Nusach HaTzvila. Every day we wake up in the morning, we make a bracha, the last of the brachas of Shachar, Hamavir Shena Me'inoi, Usnuma Me'afapoi. Why do we have two expressions? Why do we say Shena? Hashem is Mavir the Shena, He takes away the sleep from our eyes. Usnuma, what is Snuma? Slumber. It's basically the same thing as sleep. Me'afapoi from my eyelids. What's the difference between the removal of Shena from my eyes and Sunuma from my eyelids? What's the difference? So, I don't know. But if we read the long Yehi Ratzon, we continue to read the Yehi Ratzon, maybe it will shed light on what these two expressions mean. So let's read the Yehi Ratzon. Okay, Torah. Waking up means paying attention to Hashem's Torah. And Hashem's Torah is called Torah and mitzvahs. V'yal tevienu lo lidei chet. We should not be nichshol in sins. V'lo lidei avira v'ovoin. V'lo lidei nisoyin. V'lo lidei v'zoyoin. V'yal tashla banu yetzer hara. Period. Over here they put a period. It's very good. I like that. Put a period over here. After this, v'yetzer hara. Period. That's where it is. Everything over here would appear to be something bein Adam lamakim. And then the Yehi Ratzon continues. V'harchikenu me Adam ra. Now we describe waking up from our association with evil people. Me Adam ra. Ume chovera. V'dabakenu b'yetzer atov. Here he says yetzer toiv v'masim toivim. Okay, so we have to suggest over here is Mas and Tovim. Okay, let's go further. Okay, this really winds down. This is a summary of everything together. It would appear that there are two different slumbers that we experience in this world. We are asleep, bein Adam lamokim, in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're also asleep in our relationship in Adam Lachavera. When we are Mispalel Hashem, we give thank you, we Mispalel Hashem, or it's Mispalel, we give thanks. Hamavir Sheina Me'ina, you remove Sheina from our eyes. This refers to the eye, the gift of sight is something which is spiritual. There's no way science can explain, no matter, it's impossible. There's no way science can explain the ability for a human being to see. I know you'll tell me, you'll read all the science books and all the medical books, and the library is filled with explaining. But everything comes down, after everything is said and done, the koyach of sight, of ri'ah, you can see things, three-dimensional objects, two eyes, with depth vision, with color, movement, video. I mean, it's just we take everything for granted. But it's just awesome. There's no words to describe the spiritual, the revelation that there is a God. The fact that a person can see someone else, the koyach of vision, it's off the charts. There's nothing to talk about. It's something spiritual. And then there's the eyelids. So the koyach of ri'ah is something internal. Then there are the eyelids. The eyelids I can touch. I can touch the eyelids, I can push it down, push it up, you can move it around, it's external. The Shein I'm trying to suggest is the Mavir Shena Me'inoi is our slumber related to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the spiritual. Usnumo Me'af HaPoi, the slumber from our eyelids, represents symbolically, as a metaphor, our slumber in our relationship with our fellow man. Sometimes we're asleep. People are so good to us, and we treat them like garbage. And sometimes people that are so wicked, what are you doing with these people? Run away. Sever your relationship. Stay away. What are you hanging out with these people? They're destroying you. We're asleep. The days go on. We don't recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't recognize that we're either in a good relationship or in a bad relationship. V'chulu v'chulu. This is the Yehi Ratzon. The first chunk of the Yehi Ratzon corresponds to Sheina Me'enoi. The second half of the Yehi Ratzon corresponds to Usnuma Me'afapai. It's something that is physical, you can touch, the Me'afapai, the eyelids, the slumber. It's a different expression which connotes a different type of sleep, a sleep of issues, Ben Adam Lachaveroi. The first half we describe all the things that are spiritual, and then we stick in a line. Next, the Harchikenu Me Adomra Umechavera. No, that's the other, that's Nusach Svard maybe. That's the next thing he wrote, and that elaborates upon it a little bit more. Me Azefanu, Me Azpanu, Me Adomra, Me Chavera, Me Shochra, Me Pegra, Me Satan Hamashchis. That the Satan is a person, adversary. The second Yihiratzon clearly, from beginning to end, the second Yihiratzon, if you say that Yihiratzon, is clearly describing all Ben Adam Lachaveroi. And the first is 90% Ben Adam Lamakon, but there is a section there that does mention Ben Adam Lachaveroi. Two different types of slumber. Sheina Me'enoi Usnuma Me'afapoi. Now let's go back to Rav Sad Yagoin. Ha'iru yeshenim mi shinaschem. Wake up. The shofar is a wake-up call. The ikar shofar is Yom Teruah, is the middle section. Two. That's the ikar shofar. So what's the beginning? Next question. Let's try to illustrate it in this fashion. You can say all different things, whatever you want, but let's just throw out some ideas, at least a starting point. Who is blowing the shofar? When the Baal Tekiah blows the shofar, who does he represent? Does he represent the Tzibur, or does he represent the Ribbono Shel Olam? Hashem blew the shofar by Har Sinai. Who blew? What's one of the 10 reasons why we blow shofar? Corresponds to the Kol Shofar of Har Sinai. Who blew the shofar at Har Sinai? Moshe? No. Yeshua? No. Who? Hashem. When we dive into Hashem and we use the shofar as a tool of prayer, who's blowing the shofar? We. So the question, when we blow the shofar, who does it represent? Does it represent, is the Baal Tekiah a representative of the Tzibur? Or is the Baal Tekiah a representative of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Shluchei d'Rachmana or Shluchei d'Idan? So I want to suggest, based upon what we just said, both. The Teruah, when he blows the Teruah, that's a cry. That's a painful cry. An SOS, a bakasha, help! We're desperate. When he blows the teruah, he represents us. Shluchei didan. He is our representatives. He's calling out to Hashem. He's sending Morse code to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Help! We are desperate. We need your help. He's our representatives. When he blows the tekiah, that sandwiches the teruah, he's a representative of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem is the one that's blowing. Hashem appointed this Baal Tekiah, you represent me and blow that sound. What's the purpose of that sound? Wake up! Wake up from your sleep. Now, if that's really the case, if Sad Yagon is really correct, so let me just go backwards a little bit. We only should really have to blow a tekiah and a teruah. That's it. Wake up. Don't you realize you're drowning? Don't you realize you're in a lot of trouble. It's the Yom Hadin. Hinei Yom Hadin. Wake up. Oh, wake up. Oh, I woke up. So what do I do now? Okay, I woke up. I got a daven. And I blow the shofar. I daven to Hashem. I'm done. Right? So why now do you blow another tekiah? You're done. So you'll tell me, snooze. It's a joke. Snooze button, right? You wake up, Hashem wakes you up. Tekiah, wake up! Not everyone wakes up. Some people press the snooze button. They go to sleep. So you blow another tekiah, wake up a second time, right?
Yeah.
I told you, the snooze button is kineged kol ha-toyra kula. The first halach in Shulchan Aruch is yiskaber ka'ari la'avoidas, the first halach in Shulchan Aruch. The first halach in Shulchan Aruch puts the snooze button out of business. In Yemos HaMashiach, every single alarm clock will be banned. There's no alarm clock in the whole world today that does not have a snooze button.
They'll be there without a snooze button.
Without the snooze button. Every house has a snooze button. The snooze button is connected the first halach in Shulchan Aruch. Yiskaber ka'ari la'avoida saboire. So what is there a snooze button? The snooze button is saying, I'm not going to be yiskaber ka'ari. So why you have a second tekiah? Is it a snooze button? No. Okay, so the answer is... So I want to suggest is there are two different wake-up calls. And look at the difference. Look at the difference. The first wake-up call is Hamavir Shena. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he sends the Baal Tekiah to blow the shofar to wake us up. To wake us up. What? To wake us up. Hamavir Shena. To wake us up. To wake us up. Hamavir Shena. To wake us up in our relationship between.
Walk out.
The first tekiah is Hamavir Shena. The first tekiah is Hamavir Shena is still going. The first tekiah is Hamavir Shena is to wake up in our relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what do we do the moment we wake up? What do? Immediately, Teruah. We cry out to Hashem. Okay, part one is over. What's part two? Wake up! Usinuma me'afapoi. Wake up between you and your fellow man. And then there's silence. There's no silence. The whole year is the teruah that follows the second tekiah. For Hashem is very, very easy. He's very, he's not demanding. Wake up! You wake up and you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I blow a shtickle teruah. But we blow a tekiah afterwards to start phase two. Wake up and go to your fellow man and be nefayis him. Or maybe separate from him. Wake up in your relationships between Odom Lachaveroi. And here, I'm giving you a whole year to do that. Every day of your life is what follows after the second tekiah. The first tekiah, wake up. Okay, wake up. I'm going to now be mispalel to you, Hashem. I'm done. Good, it's all I want. I'm not so demanding. You don't have to go. I'm not going to make you crazy. But I demand more of you between Odom Lachaveroi than I demand in Odom Lamokim. So after we finish part one, you blow the tekiah again. It's the second wake-up call. Usinuma me'afapoi ben Odom Lachaveroi. And now you go home. And now when you go home and you deal with other people, remember, I woke you up. And you should now appropriately deal with your chaverim in a responsible way that will give nachas ruach to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the key to remembering this idea is there are two tekiyos. There are two wake-up calls. There is Hamavir Shena, and there is and Shena Me'inoi, and there's Snuma Me'afapoi. Shena Me'inoi is spiritual. Usnuma Me'afapoi is physical. It's been Adam Lachaveroi. The Teruah that we blow on Rosh Hashanah, that corresponds to the Shena Me'inoi. But the test, the challenge of how we deal with our Chaverim throughout the entire year is the Teruah of the second Tekiah of Usnuma Me'afapoi. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Okay, this really goes back to last week's parasha. This idea made a very shaman me. I really like this idea. Last week's parasha came across. This is something I saw in the Sefer V'tahir Libenu. He doesn't say exactly what I'm saying, okay, but he's the one that inspired me to understand it in the following way. At the end of last week's parasha, it says as follows. V'leinosan Hashem l'lochem lev l'das ad hayoim hazem. Nochamal, the word hayoim. Okay, the word hayoim is a very powerful word. Hayoim. Hayoim refers to Rosh Hashanah. Hashem has not given you a heart to understand until this day. It's a very interesting word in Rashi. Rashi says, I'm going to tell you the pshat in the pasuk. Rashi, as far as I don't know, I'm not a big bucky in Rashi, but Rashi, he just says the pshat as a matter of fact. And you have to go on a wild goose chase to track down which Medrash he's quoting, which Gemara he's quoting. Today, all of the modern Chumashim, they give you all the sources, pretty much, where Rashi gets his ideas from, fine. And sometimes Rashi will tell you a Medrash Agada, sometimes he'll quote a person, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Yeah, Rashi is hit and miss. Rashi has very interesting style of telling you the source for his ideas. Rashi here does something which I don't recall him doing yet. It must be there's all the place. He writes, Shamati, I heard this, Shamati, I heard this pshat. Shamati, I'll tell you what it means here, ad hayoim hazeh. Shamati. He doesn't tell us who said this. It was his Rebbe in Germany. Was it his Rebbe, someone from France? Was it a Nagoda? Was it someone not from our Chevra, his Machaneh? Who is the Shamati? Who is he? Doesn't say. A Malach came to him and told him the Zvart. Hashem told him the Zvart. Doesn't say. Okay, that's just a side point. What is the Zvart? She'oisa hayom she'nasan Moshe sefer ator l'mei Levi. On that very day, when Moshe Rabbeinu gave a sefer Torah to Levi, to Sheva Levi, his tribe, K'moshe calls, like it says, in our parasha, I'm reading now, you were Rashi at the very end of Parashas Kisavai. And Rashi in Parashas Kisavai references the pasuk in Parashas Nitzavim. Vayidnu, a parash vayelach. Vayidnu, he gave the Torah, El HaKoyhanim B'nei Levi. But when he gave the Torah to the B'nei Levi, Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way, he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah on the day that he died. Baruch Kol Yisrael Lefnei Moshe, Gans Klal Yisrael, a whole Klal Yisrael. Can you imagine this? 3 million people came to him on that day. The Amrulo, Ze Lo Fair. What you have done, Moshe, is not fair. You gave a Sefer Torah to your tribe, to Sheva Levi. What about us? We're not part of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, Af Anu Amanu B'Sinai V'Kabalnu Es HaTorah V'Nitna Lanu. Why are you giving your tribe Shalita? Why are you giving a Sefer Torah only to Shevet Levi? You know what's going to happen one day? Shevet Levi is going to look at all of us and they're going to say, you're not Jews. You're the Chos Darga people. You're low-level people. We got the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu and you're all a bunch of balabatim. You're all nothing. Not nice. You're setting us up for trouble, Moshe Rabbeinu, by giving the Torah only to Levi. V'yoymru lanu yoymachar. Lo yilochem nidna. Lanu nidna. So Moshe heard this complaint on the day that he was about to die, 5 minutes before he was going to die. V'somach Moshe al hadavar. Moshe was filled with incredible joy. Wow. Klal Yisrael, they love the Torah so much, they're jealous. They love the Torah so much, they're jealous that I gave Levi their own Sefer Torah. And they're afraid the day is going to come when Levi's going to say, oh, we're all, the Talmidei Chacham Klal Yisrael is only from Sheva Levi and everyone else go to work. Everyone else go get a job. You can't go to Koilach. Moshe has such simcha. V'al Zos Omar, that's why he said, Hayoim. Ah. V'loy nosan Hashem lochem lev lodas ar hayoyim hazeh. I know you people for 120 years. Never did I see such a thing that Torah was so choshev to you that you're jealous that one shevet should have their own Sefer Torah, a special Sefer Torah. Wow. I know you for all these years. I know you're bachshev Torah, you're talmidei chachamim, you're good people. But this jealousy, kinas, seferim tarbe chachma, I never saw until today. I am impressed. V'alzois omar lohem hayoim hazeh niye solom. Today indeed you are Klal Yisrael. Hayoim hazeh hevanti sha'atem devekim v'chafetzim b'mokom, that you are dovuk and you have a desire to have a chelik in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, it's a very beautiful Rashi, but what did Moshe do to solve the problem? What did he do? How did he solve the problem? Doesn't say. What?
When did he write this?
The last day of his life. Now, what?
Maybe afterwards.
No, he gave it. He's Hayoyim Hazeh. This referring, Rashi says that the Pshat in this pasuk has to be understood together with what it says in Parshas Vayelech, that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Levi a special Sefer Torah. And the truth is, Rashi doesn't, and they were jealous. They were jealous. How did Moshe Rabbeinu take away their jealousy? The truth is, it doesn't say. It's a really good kasha, which I do not have an answer. Think about. Okay, if not for now, to delve into this issue. They're jealous. The day is going to come when they're going to tell us that only them and not us. So Moshe basically seemed to say, don't worry, it's not going to happen. Don't worry, it's not going to happen. They'll always appreciate you. And as Derech Agav, wow, I'm so happy. I live to see this. The jealousy amongst Klal Yisrael, kina soifrim tar bechachma. Okay, that's a side point. But there's a more fundamental question that I want to focus on. Short idea. A more fundamental question. And that is, why are they jealous? It says, beferish in Chazal, in Parshas Vayelech, that Moshe Rabbeinu, on the day that he died, he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah. 13 Sifrei Torah, and gave every shevet a their own Sefer Torah. What are they jealous of Levi? Levi has a Sefer Torah, and Reuven has a Sefer Torah, and Shimon has a Sefer Torah. So what are they? What's he talking about? What's going on over here? So the answer is, you have to go back and look at the Pasuk Parashat Vayelech, and it says that when he gave the Sefer Torah to Levi, it doesn't just say he gave it to Levi, it says, L'koyach es Sefer HaTorah hazeh, v'samtem oisoy, you shall put it Mitzad ha'oro aroin bris Hashem Elokeichem v'hoyo sham b'chol eid. There's a difference between the Sefer Torah of Shevet Levi and the Sefer Torah of all of the other Shvatim. All of the other Shvatim, when they got their Sefer Torah, they took it home and they brought it wherever they brought it. They brought it to the Bez, and they brought it to the big shul, and each Shevet had their chelik in the land. They had a big, beautiful, magnificent shul, and they put the Sefer Torah in the Beis HaKnesses of that particular Shevet. But Shevet Levi, when they got their Sefer Torah, they were instructed to put the Sefer Torah mitzad aroin bris Hashem. Chazal tell us, the Oroin HaKodesh had a ledge that came out. And on the ledge, they put that Sefer Torah. They were jealous. We also have the Torah. But Levi's Torah is in the Kodesh HaKodashim, on the ledge of the Aron that has the Luchas. That's what they were jealous of. Question is, why is that? Why are they just so what? So what? You have a Sefer Torah? What difference does it make where it is? So here's the difference. Who carried the Aron HaKodesh when they traveled in the Midbar? Sheva Levi. How many Levim carried it? 4 Levim. Chazal, very clear, there were 2 Badim, there were 4 Levim, they stood in a very specific way, how they carried, how they walked. Chazal make a calculation of how much gold was in the Aron. The Kruvim was made from pure gold. The Aron had 3 layers of, 2 layers of gold. In the center was the Atzei Shittim, which is not light. The Luchos weighed more than any human being can possibly carry. Chazal have a calculation. There were 2 sets of luchos: the luchos the Masi Lukim and the luchos Psolucha. There is no way in the world four human beings could carry the Aron HaKodesh. It is impossible, impossible, impossible. The amount of gold and the weight of the stones. The only way the Aron could have been carried in the Midbar was a miracle. And indeed, Chazal say, the Aron really carried those who carried it. It was just a show. You saw four Levim holding the Aron. The Aron was carrying the Levim. Noiseyes noisav. And Chazal used this as a beautiful mashal. A mashal is that when you engage in the learning of Torah or the support of Torah, don't fool yourself and think that you are supporting your few dollars. Give a few dollars to a tzedakah, to Torah. I learn a daf gemara. I'm doing something for the Torah. Don't ask what you can do for your country, right? Ask what your country can do for... You are not... It's the Torah that's carrying you. The Torah is noisiyas noisav. Do you know why Klal Yisrael was jealous of Sheva Levi? It wasn't because Sheva Levi had a Sefer Torah and we don't have a Sefer Torah. That's nonsense. Moshe gave him a Sefer Torah. It's not because Levi's Sefer Torah was in the on top of the Aron HaKodesh and their Sefer Torah was in a big, magnificent Beis HaKnesses somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. You know why they were jealous? It's because the Shevet Levi, their Sefer Torah was on the Aron, which meant Shevet Levi lived a life not where they carried the Torah. The whole essence of Sheva Levi was a life where they recognized the Torah is carrying us. The fact that their Torah was put on the Aron was a revelation. Our whole lives, Hashem, are taking us by the hand. The rest of Klal Yisrael was not on that Madrega. They have the Torah. They learn Torah, they cherish the Torah, they mechavev the Torah, everything is the Torah. But the madrega, the spiritual level to appreciate that it's not you who are supporting the Torah, it's not you who are carrying the Torah, it's the Torah that carries you, was only seen openly by Shevet Levi. And this is something that Klal Yisrael were jealous of. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're about to die. We want to let you know. We're jealous of Shevet Levi. We want the Torah to carry us, not that we carry the Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu heard this, Mole Simcha Gedoyla. I know Klal Yisrael for 120 years. I know you machshiv Torah, you learn Torah, you support Torah, you have children in Koilel and so on and so forth. But I never saw you on this madrega where you're so attached to Torah. You feel you have to live a life where it's clear as day that we are not the ones who are supporting the Torah. The Torah is supporting us. Hayoyim hazeh nihiyeh sol'on. Today you are a nation. This is Klal Yisrael. Hayoyim is Rosh Hashanah. This is a Rosh Hashanah. To be on this level, to appreciate on Rosh Hashanah, it should be clear that's not we who carry the Torah, the Torah carries us. Last Vart, to wind down the last Vart of Rosh Hashanah and this week's parasha. Rashi says something very, very fascinating. The first words of Rashi in Parashas Vayelech, Anoichi Hayei Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Vayelech Moshe Vaydaber, says Ramo Eile El Kol Yisrael, Vayom Aleihem, Ben Nea, Ve'eshem Shana, Anoichi Hayoim. Today I am 120 years old. Le'uchal Oy Lot says for Levo Rashi, Hayoim Mileisi Yomai Ushnoisai. Today I fill my days. My days are complete. Ushnoisai, my years. Biyoim Ze Noiladiti, Biyoim Ze Omus. Why did Rashi have to say that? Why wouldn't it be sufficient to say Hayoim Molu Yomai Ushnoisai? Period. Why does Rashi have to say B'yoyim ze noiladiti uv'yoyim ze omus. Why does Rashi need to add those extra words? It's obvious. Today, molu yomai shnoisai. So the answer is, when did Moshe Rabbeinu, when was he born? What is our tradition? When was he born? The most common tradition, he was born on Zayin Adar. When did he die? Zayin Adar. So how old was Moshe Rabbeinu when he died? 120 years and one day. Moshe Rabbeinu lived. Anyone who tells you that Moshe Rabbeinu was 120 years old when he died is lying. He's making a big mistake. He's 121 years old. He was 121 years old. The way we calculate, 121. Right, on your first birthday, you really, it's the beginning of your second year. You're in your 120. When does your year end? Vav Adar was the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. And indeed, you should know there are some places that say that's when you bar mitzvah. Some hold, we don't follow the halacha l'maaseh, but there are some places that say that you will bar mitzvah really is the day before your birthday. Because the last day, miksas hayom kikulay, that's the last day of your years, of that year. So the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's 120 years is Vav Adar. So if the Rashi would just say, hayoy molu yomai, today my days are complete. Ushnoisai, my years. If we would stop right then and there, then what would be the calendar date of this event? Vav Adar. Correct? The year Moshe was born on Zion, when you get to Vav, that's Molu. My days are complete. That is the completion of my years. So what's Zion? Zion is not the completion. Zion is another day. The next year. I'm now 121 years old. So Rashi makes it clear as day when it says Hayom Molu Yom Hashnoisai, it does not mean Vav. Hayom Noiladiti VeHayom Omos. It's Zion. It's Zion. But if it's Zion, it's not Molu Yomai Ushnoisai. You're post Molu. You're past Molu. That's exactly what Rashi is coming to teach us. Let me explain. And that's exactly the significance of what it means, Rosh Hashanah, a new year. Let me explain very quickly. There are different ways we calculate time. Chodesh. What is the most significant part of Rosh Chodesh? The first day or the last day? What's the most significant part of Rosh Chodesh in the Jewish calendar, in Jewish halacha? The first day. When do we celebrate? When do we say hallel? Rosh Chodesh, day one. Okay, when the new moon, why? Because, the new moon has appeared. The last day of the month is not a good day. Okay, you don't want to do things on the last, because the last day of the month, there is no levana. The levana has disappeared. There is no levana to be found in the sky on the last day of the month. When the noilah, the moon has reappeared. Whew. Wow, miracle. Baruch Hashem, the moon has come back. New month, celebration. The significance of the month is day one. A week. What is the significance of a week? Which day? The first day or the last day? The last day. Never heard anyone celebrating on Sunday. What is week? Shabbos is the last day. Shabbos Kodesh. So when it comes, now what about a day itself? A yom, one day. What's the significant part of the day? Nothing. It's all the same. A day is the moment. The moment. There are three elements in time. There's the day, the week, and the month. The day is the moment. We don't find any significance in the end of the day versus the beginning of the day. Ma'ariv is the beginning, and mincha is the end. Chassidim, they daven mincha at the very, very end. And makom to daven mincha at the very, very end. Not like the Litvaks, who daven mincha gedolah, get over with. They wait to the very, very end to sanctify the end of the day. You daven ma'ariv at the beginning of the day, and you daven mincha at the end of the day. In the middle of the day, you have shachris. Yeah, but that's the beginning of the day. And what? Yeah. That's what they daven. That's why Chassidim daven. They daven mincha the very, very end, because you want to sanctify the very end of the day. How do you sanctify the beginning of the day? You daven ma'ariv the earliest as possible, and you daven mincha the very end of the day. And shacharis is the morning, and then tinkchat tzois is supposed to be the equivalent for you have shacharis and mincha. Okay, you do the whole day. There's nothing more special about one part of the day than the other part of the day. The entire day, it represents the moment. The week, the end. The month, The month, the beginning. So my question then to you is, what about the year? What then is the hallmark of a Shana? Is it the beginning? Is it the end? Is it the middle? Is it every day? How does the Shana make stand out in the limelight in expressing its uniqueness in its relationship with time? You'll tell me both? What makes the year special? The answer is the year. What makes the year special is that the end is the beginning. It's the continuation of the cycle. Indeed, it's the Reishis and the Achris. Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba Me Reishis Hashana Ad Achris Hashana. What is the Achris Hashana? It's Rosh Hashanah. It's the first day. Not like we think it's the last day, Erev Rosh Hashanah. Moshe Rabbeinu is defining today, Molu Yomai Ushnoisai. Hayoim Noiladti VeHayoim Omus. It's Zion. Zion is a year and a day. The beginning, Hayoim Yoladti was the beginning. Zion, I was born. Every year my birthday is Zion. What do you mean? But Zion is a year in one day. Why are you counting that as Molu, the end of the year? It's not the end of the year, it's the beginning of the year. That's exactly the point. The uniqueness of the year is cycle. Cycle. It's the Kiddush is the end, the last day is also the first day. It's the overlap which is the glue, the bond of the eternity of time. A day is the moment. A week, it's the end. A chodesh is the beginning. And a shana, the shana is how they all come together. The end, the beginning, and the center, the continuum. They all overlap and they go in cycles of time. Hayoim noiladiti vehayoim omos. It's the first day and it's the last day. That's exactly what a shana is. It's the cycle. We come to Rosh Hashanah, it's the glue that brings together all of time. All of the events of the past year and the future, the years before us and the years in the future, Abolim L'Toiva, they all synthesize into one moment of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose essence is L'mayla Min Hazman, Hoya, Hoyve V'yeh. This is the Shana. It's all of time comes together in one moment. It's an intensity, and the ability to bring time into one moment can only be done in a spiritual world by the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is Hoya Hoyve V'yeh, whose eyes gaze sees all of time. Rabbeisai, I want to wish you all a ksiva v'chasim etayva, a year of bracha nachas, the excellent and best of health. To you, to your wives, your family, your children, your grandchildren, your great grandchildren, v'chulu, a year of success, bracha beyond your wildest imagination.
Amen. Thank you very much for sharing. We'll next year. You'll pick up again. Amen.
Amen. How will I?